Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Without further ado, we are rolling for another Growing in Grace podcast. Joel said that right before he told me to start. He said, without further ado.
Well, I've got a different intro when I start the next one, so you can just wait for that.
What is ado? I should look that up sometime.
And what's further ado? If you got ado, and then you got further ado, and then can you go even further than that?
Joel, when I was a teenager, I think I can honestly say I was probably addicted to Mountain Dew.
Do you?
There were several years there in my mid to late teens where I'd probably drink four cans a day.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, and I could slam them down. Now at work one time, we had these guys that were a little bit older than me, and back then the drinking age in our state was lower too. It wasn't 21; it was lower than that.
Right.
Anyway, after the business closed, I can remember a couple of times where there was one guy. He's kind of a big husky guy, not fat, but just tall, big, and he liked his beer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he had two cans of beer. He'd stand over the sink. He had two cans of beer, and I had one can of Dew. And you would take a can opener, or what was sometimes commonly referred to as a bottle opener, and you'd poke a hole in the bottom of the can.
Right, and chug, chug, chug.
And we called it shooting. Yeah. So I shot one Dew to his two beers.
Oh, my. Oh, brother.
Yeah, those were the good old days,
sadly. So you had your Dew and then further Dew.
Further ado. And drank it too. Without further ado. So I used to get on people for smoking cigarettes back at that time because smoking just never appealed to me. But then it dawned on me, like around the age of 20 or so, where I thought, you know what? I shouldn't be jumping on people about their cigarettes when I'm drinking four cans of Dew a day.
When you got your Dew and you can't stop your Dew.
I quit cold turkey, and I don't think I've had one since in all these decades. I do like Dr. Pepper, but I don't drink four per day.
I just
never went back to it. I think after being off of it for a while, I went to go drink one, and it didn't even taste the same to me.
Oh.
So I thought, ooh, this is what I was drinking?
Well, anyway. So you've been without a further Dew.
Yes,
since then
there was no more ado.
Well, I think I don't know if it if they did the I know if they used to have real sugar in it, and then they went to what do you call it, the syrup, corn syrup, and then maybe they went back to sugar. I'm not sure if that changed anything or not, or if that happened with Dew. I don't really know the history of Dew. I used to drink Pepsi and Diet Pepsi.
I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, just
be like Sergeant Schultz.
I know nothing. Sometimes that's just as well. Just
ignorance is bliss.
Well, hey, since the last time recorded, I was on a couple, just to let people know, and Cap, you've also been on these. So I was on with Rick Fry on his podcast, and I know you've been with Rick on his podcast too. And if a person wants to go to on YouTube at Oneness Ministries, that's O-N-E-N-E-S-S, Oneness Ministries, and you can see some clips, the full episodes and some clips from the time when I was on there. And also I saw that there are past ones with you on there too, Cap. The full episodes, and also Rick has been good at putting up some shorter clips as well. And also, I was with Mike Adams on the Unsunday Show podcast. We did a live stream, and you can check that out at Unsunday Show on YouTube. Unsunday Show. Just search for Oneness Ministries and Unsunday Show on YouTube. You can find those. I had really good conversations with those guys. So, hey, Cap. Wanted to ask you, how is your faith these days? Are you are you showing it in all the good things that you're doing? And I want to ask you, because we want to know, are you really saved? We need the proof in the pudding, and I'm putting you on the spot to find out if you've been doing this stuff to keep yourself saved and to show that you really have faith. So how's it going,
man? As we've talked about in recent weeks from Hebrews 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things
not seen.
Yes. I mean, because what did Paul say? We walk by faith and not by sight. And what did Jesus say even during the Sermon on the Mount? He talked about the hypocrites who would outwardly demonstrate things for people to see. Mm-hmm. And that was really their only reward, because they were just trying to put something on display, like for show or something. So, yeah, the way you phrased that reminded me of doing lunch many years ago with somebody. It was a friend of mine. He went to an evangelical church, similar to what I used to go to back at that time, I guess. But I had come into the grace thing, and we were meeting for lunch, and he had his struggles, right? I mean, we all do, but he had some struggles, and it was just always such a roller. He was on the roller coaster Christianity ride, and that's just not much fun, right? That's why we do this podcast, to try to help people get off of that. But he would ask the question, Joel, how's your walk? He's a funny guy, and he likes to laugh, and but then he'd get all serious. He'd kind of lower his voice a little bit. How's your walk?
All serious.
How's my spiritual walk? And when I would hear a question like that after growing in grace over a period of time, it really would be one of those measuring sticks for me without even realizing it until you are confronted with it. It's like, my walk.
Right.
And I knew where he was going with that. Yeah. It's like, how are you doing? The emphasis on do.
Right. Mountain Dew.
Yeah, I mean, it's all based upon, I mean, he didn't specify a lot of things, I don't think, or anything maybe, but he was basically after, I guess, you know, are you living right? Are you, you know, hitting the church scene? Are you reading your Bible a lot? How's your prayer life? I mean, you can start putting your own list together, right?
Are you doing the do?
Yeah.
What was that Mountain Dew slogan? Doing the do?
Yeah, and I think for him it was more like doo-doo. Because it was such a struggle. And
yeah.
So I like this topic because, if you think that the faith that saves can be dead because you're not doing the works, or you're not doing enough of them, where does that leave you? I mean, you know, you're kind of back to square one, BC, before, or BG, before grace. or BG, Joe, the BGs. All right, so how about this? Staying alive. I got a little bit of a cold, so it's even worse than usual. But
yeah, I was going to say, please,
so you're trying to
never
keep your
do
faith
that again.
Alive. You know, I'm spending my time trying to make sure that my faith is alive because of, am I doing enough of the right stuff? And do you see where this puts people back to when we start thinking along these lines? So it's not that faith without works is dead. It's the other way around. But a legalistic mindset will go in that direction. And you got to keep in mind, back at this time in the early years of the church, most believing Jews, those who came to believe in a risen Jesus, did not understand that the law had been put aside, canceled, annulled, made obsolete. They didn't know all that. They just thought it was a combination of, hey, we've got a risen Savior now. And I mean, why would they think the law was abolished unless they had a revelation of it? And that's where Paul came onto the scene to try to help with that. And a lot of people didn't really like that Paul was doing that, and Paul would end up dying because of it, with that message. And because a lot of his persecution, I tell you what, Joel, we as Christians, I noticed this as I started moving more into grace, away from all of the legalistic mumbo jumbo that we were feeding on for years. Most of my persecution would come from believers, and it still does today, even well-meaning ones, of course. And most of Paul's persecution was from believing Jews.
Right.
Not necessarily just the Jews who didn't believe in Jesus. With that said, I want to get you in here, but this thing about faith and salvation. Well, you know, you can say, well, you know, James wasn't talking about salvation, but he said right there, can that faith save? Can faith without works save? So we're along that same lines, and so where I would go with this, I think, is you can't really separate faith and salvation. I mean, we're saved by grace through faith, and to me, they're like wrapped together. They're intertwined. It's almost like a stew. You can't really pick out one against the other. You can't separate salvation and faith, consider one dead and consider one alive. They're just peas and carrots, Forrest Gump would say, like peas and carrots. Now, maybe you can pick peas and carrots out from each other, but you can't do that with salvation and faith.
Right, but you can't, and I'm just trying to get your singing out of my head. Just let me clear my head for a second here. Okay. Okay, staying alive. It reminds me of, you ever see Shrek? And Lord Farquaad, he was stuck in Dragon's stomach, and they're doing swamp karaoke, and he goes, staying alive, staying alive. And he's got a little candle
almost
lit.
Almost sounded like Led Zeppelin there for a minute.
Yeah, that's a good song too. But the one thing you can separate, you're right, you can't separate faith and salvation. One thing you can separate is faith and works. Now, you know, some of the people that you're talking about in the James camp, and not to get down on James, and not to get down on works, because we've talked extensively about this on the podcast, that, you know, works are a good thing. You know, we're not against works, but as far as the faith that saves, it's something we've brought up a lot. Paul in Romans 4, now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. So if you work in order to achieve righteousness and salvation, then you are tying your works into God owing you the debt of salvation, of righteousness. You're tying your works together with salvation. But Paul is saying that that's a debt that God owes you. But in verse 5 of Romans 4, but to him who does not work. So we take works out of the equation, him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly. So the ungodly, he's talking about a person who doesn't have good works. God justifies the ungodly. His faith is accounted for righteousness. So salvation, righteousness, justification is all tied together with faith, not works. Faith apart from works. And he goes on, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. And he quotes from David, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. All of that comes apart from works, but it comes by faith. And it's all about, you know, the works that are in this are the works of Jesus, his finished work. It's what Christ did. And so if we think that our works play some part in this, then what we're doing is we're putting our faith in our works. We're putting our faith in what we do and not in what Christ did. And that is not where salvation comes from. You cannot tie your works into it, into the equation in any way. Whether it's, you know, trying to earn salvation by what you do, by your works, or whether it's Now that you have believed, and someone comes along and tells you, well, if you don't have works, were you really saved in the first place? Or come on, I need to see some works. Kind of like what I was joking around with you about a little bit ago. Show me the money, you know, show me the works. Otherwise, I'm going to have to question your salvation. That's not something that we can do, because this salvation that we have has nothing to do with our works, whether it's, again, whether it's the works that we do to try to earn it, or whether it's works that we do to try to prove it, or to show somebody evidence that we're saved. Anybody can have good works. Anybody can have what looks like some, you know, good stuff coming out of their lives, but that doesn't prove and it doesn't maintain this salvation that comes only by faith. It's tied together only with faith.
Yeah, an unbelieving person can have some fruitful good works and not be saved, right? I mean, it's somebody who doesn't claim to believe in Jesus is what I mean by that. So are we keeping faith alive through our doing, or is it sustained by what Jesus did on our behalf, who now abides in us and us in him? I think that's a question that we need to stop and ask ourselves. And then finally, if keeping faith alive and maintaining salvation is based upon our doing, then what works are required? And Joel, this is the big thing that really trips up those who want to keep jumping over these hurdles instead of just resting in Christ. And that is specifically exactly what must we do to maintain faith being kept alive, thereby keeping salvation alive. What works are required? Good luck with that. I mean, we talk in generalities on this stuff, but it's time to get specific if you're going to get serious about it.
Yeah. And so maybe we'll talk a little bit more about this. I had posted something on Facebook about works and evidence of salvation and had some good comments on there. Just this whole idea of how do you measure it? What works are enough? You know, that type of thing. So let's spend a little bit more time on this next time on the Growing in Grace podcast at growingingrace.org.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.